This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Pretty Woman. That's a great song. Right in the heart of the rock and roll era of the 60s. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. Yes, I am. And along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, January the 26th. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Walter Olson of the Cato Institute. We're going to talk about how civil liberties, in the wake of the storming of the Capitol building, civil liberties should not be curtailed. All of a sudden, we got all of these things going on, stifling speech and everything else, right? We're going to have a very interesting conversation with Walter Olson. And Joe Biden himself says Democrats will likely not convict Donald Trump in this newest impeachment trial. But the Democrats are insistent that this circus continue. So we're going to get some perspective on this and a few other things from the proprietor of the Barber Poll. He is back, Andrew Ceraci. And the Hunter Biden saga, that will not be ending soon, apparently. Attorney General nominee Merrick Garland likely to be asked whether he would shut down the probe into the Hunter Biden business dealings. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. And again, since we are all dancing in the streets here in Tampa Bay because of the Super Bowl, our ultimate top 10, the top 10 closest Super Bowl games. I want to find out if Ed, who fancies himself a sports expert, knows what Super Bowl. Oh, he's nodding his head already. Boy, that's going to ruin it for me. Well, we'll find out. No peeking, Ed. No, okay, he promises he won't. By the way, Freedom Works, we're sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's the best place, guys, for a haircut in Tampa Bay. I've gone all over the place. I've been here a long time. I had never found a better place. Call for your appointment there, 733-3773, 727 area code, 733-3773 in Dunedin. And also, don't forget, every morning, get up, or at least get your clock radio to turn itself on between 8 and 10 a.m. so you can listen to Good Morning Clearwater with Paul and Tracy Allen. Let them start off your day. They'll help you get your rear end out of bed, up and running, get your coffee. By the way, while they're talking to you about all kinds of things around Clearwater, they also create posters, flyers, banners. You can call them at 727-330-3212. All right. Well, Joe Biden has said today that Senate Democrats do not have the votes to convict Trump once again for impeachment. Now, the House Democrats solemnly wandered over. There's a hallway, and they went from the House over to the Senate. It was a procession. I was berserk with sadness watching that. I don't know if Ed watched it or not. And very solemn, all of that solemnity. They presented the articles of impeachment to the Senate. Congressman Jamie Raskin, one of nine House Democrats named as prosecutors, read the articles of impeachment on the Senate floor. He quoted from Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which he said, quote, prohibits any person who has engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the United States from holding any office under the United States. Well, Biden gets on CNN yesterday. He says he doesn't think the Senate Democrats will get 17 Republicans to go along with this charade, or I'm sorry, along with this trial. He said his opinion might have been different if Trump was still in office. Okay. So this is all going down the drain, and it's not going to be going to, it's not going to accomplish anything other than it's probably going to create a lot more friction between Democrats and Republicans. We talked yesterday about the fact that Nancy Pelosi supported the storming of the Wisconsin State Capitol building when union members were upset with the vote that was going to be taken on basically it's a right to work issue in Wisconsin at the time. And she lauded all of the people that broke the windows and battered down the doors. It was the same scenario in terms of the effort. The reasons were a little bit different, but the effort was the same. The state senators scurried around hiding because of the storming of their Capitol. And Pelosi she called it a patriotic gesture, basically. So that's okay when it's, you know, when it's your side that's storming the Capitol. I guess that's the best way to put it. It's kind of sad. In the meantime, Chief Justice John Roberts is not going to be there for the trial. So this is becoming, as Alice would say in The Looking Glass, curiouser and curiouser as to why they are doing this. Vermont Democrat Patrick Leahy is, quote, expected to preside over the impeachment trial of Trump. This is a signal that Chief Justice John Roberts will not be forced to oversee the arguments now that Trump is out of office. Now, Leahy is a senator, a Democrat, and he's the president pro tempore of the Senate. That's the guy that pops up when the vice president isn't there to conduct business, et cetera, and he can get up there in the front. But he would preside instead of the Chief Justice because senators usually fill that role when the impeached individual, it says here, is not the current president of the United States. Uh-huh. Leahy is a complete one-sided political hack. Okay? You think you're going to get any kind of justice with a judge that's on the... Can you imagine holding a trial for some crime when the judge is related to the prosecutors? You know, that's what's going on here. It's all kind of one-sided. But here's Leahy. I consider holding the office of the president pro tempore and the responsibilities that come with it to be one of the highest honors and most serious responsibilities of my career. When I preside over the impeachment trial of former President Donald Trump, I will not waver from my constitutional and sworn obligations to administer the trial with fairness, in accordance with the Constitution and the laws, and then I will preside over the hanging. So, I don't know. I'm not so sure he's unbiased on this one. I added that last phrase, by the way. Okay, we're going to take our break. You know, there's been a lot of, I don't know, coming down on speech, has there not been, ever since the storming of the Capitol? We're going to talk with Walter Olson of the Cato Institute all about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is Marine Wildlife Artist and Conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I gave a girl. Hey, we are back on a Tuesday. And delighted to have Walter Olson, who was a senior fellow at the Cato Institute's Levy Center for Constitutional Studies, join us. And we're going to talk about, what's going on in terms of security powers, whether they should be expanded or not, and civil liberties, whether they should be curtailed or not in light of the storming of the Capitol building. Walter, welcome to FreedomWorks.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's absolutely our pleasure. So 10 members of the House have declared that the security powers should not be expanded, civil liberties should not be curtailed in light of this attack. Well, that makes sense, I would suspect. But yet, there is some curtailing of civil liberties, I would suggest, most recently, and maybe in part because of what happened at the Capitol building, although I think it's been going on for some time. And it's generally the suppression of conservative speech. Would you agree with that?
Well, I'd probably put it differently. What's going on social media, to me, is a different issue. It isn't driven by things like the Patriot Act and by government surveillance, so far as we know. These are the kinds of things that we are already hearing in the air. Congress is going to be asked to expand. I mean, if you have problems with the Patriot Act after 9/11, and I did have problems, Cato thought that it went way too far in allowing government surveillance and government intrusion. They intended, many sponsors intend to take those laws and give the government a whole bunch of new powers over things like, maybe looking into your telecom records, maybe looking into your encrypted accounts, into your financial records, wider penalties for things that have been illegal all along but will be extra super illegal with extra super long sentences, all of these sorts of things. And those are what that was the subject of the letter from the 10 members of Congress. And of course, the irony, you didn't mention it, but maybe you're saving it, is that these were not the ones that I might have kind of expected, you know, Rand Paul and Thomas Massey, the ones who have been strong civil libertarians from a limited government position. These are some of the more left-wing members, like the Squad, you know, AOC and her friends, and they're coming at it kind of from go so far left that they agree with the right. They to them, any powers that the government picks up in this round will eventually be used against their friends. And I think they've actually got a point on that because, historically, when the government gets a new power to investigate, private political groups or to, send in informants or whatever, it doesn't just stick to whatever the original danger that was warned about. It begins using that against, all sorts of different critics and dissident groups. So I do think that they've got a point that it will eventually be used against people that they like, even though they don't like the people who stormed the Capitol.
Well, I wouldn't be too surprised they came out in favor of civil liberties. Look what's going on across the country. I mean, we've got we've still got Portland and Seattle. I could name all kinds of places, and these are typically left wing organizations that are involved in these riots all across the country, and AOC and the progressives have generally supported that kind of activity. This is a one-time thing for conservatives. And I wouldn't even suggest that they're necessarily conservatives, the handful that broke in. But, the progressives do not want to stifle these protests that are going on across the country, and it would make them look bad.
Well, and the principles here, you mentioned a couple of the different groups, but we've seen, let me take one other example, which is over the years you've had some significant violence from very extreme animal rights groups, and only from a few of their members, but still enough so that people have, bombs have gone off and that sort of thing. And the principles, as far as what are you going to let the police do? Are you going to let the police open a file on someone who they don't have any evidence has broken the law because they're very closely related or they're a sympathizer of someone, who does? And if you let them open a file, where does it stop exactly? Can you get a warrant to look at their bank records? Can you get a warrant to look at their email? And the and generally, libertarians, and this does go kind of across the aisle, because the ACLU has done a bunch of things that I would agree with on this. They say, no, you got to draw a pretty strict line. It's not that they can't investigate at all, and I think the ACLU would admit that you can even investigate Antifa, although they're more on the side that they sympathize with, but you can't just give the police massive secret powers without expecting that a few years later you'll find out they were misused. They were used to, as we know from the files, they were used to look up the ex-girlfriends of police and see whether there's a file on them. I mean, this literally happens, and you've got to close the door before everyone goes through it by trying to make sure that while you investigate the lawbreakers, and that's a fully legitimate function of government, which I don't think libertarians would have any problem with, you don't use that to punish opinion, even extreme opinion, even radical opinion. And this goes for the Capitol siege as well as for the courthouse siege in Portland. Simply sympathizing with terrible acts is not illegal. Simply knowing people who commit terrible acts is not illegal, and the government can't punish you for it. And in general, it can't take away your privacy just because you did those things.
We're talking with Walter Olson. He is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute's Levy Center for Constitutional Studies, and he's graciously consented to talk with us about the Capitol attack in Washington and civil liberties, whether or not they might be stomped on to some extent. Walter, Donald Trump is now going to be he has been impeached for a second time for talking. Not for doing anything, but for talking. He got up in front of the group, and he expressed the thought that the election was stolen from him. But he never said, let's breach the Capitol. And he clearly said he wanted a peaceful protest. Now, are his rights being trampled on as well?
Let me take the other side, because his rights are not being trampled on. The impeachment is different from criminal prosecution, and I have said that if you move the whole situation over to an attempt to prosecute Trump, then he would get a whole bunch of constitutional rights that criminal defendants have, and he would beat an incitement charge. They wouldn't even probably indict him for incitement, because they would know that resolving every question of reasonable doubt in his favor and the like, they wouldn't have a good enough chance of convicting even before a D.C. jury.
This is a circus.
Well, but
this is a one-sided, now,
let me finish my point.
This is a
second,
one-sided
second half of the
circus.
Point is that impeachment is different from criminal prosecution. You don't have rights.
You have
institutional interests to argue your case if you're a president or anyone else, if you're a judge they're thinking of impeaching.
What did he do wrong, in your opinion, Walter?
Well, I think what he did wrong, one important thing was to call his followers to the Capitol on January 6th, the day that he knew that the Congress
would be considering
the election.
He had every right to call his followers there, and they can stand there and listen to him speak. There's nothing wrong
with it. He called them there. I believe his course of action, and then the Senate will be invited to consider his course of action, included a wish to use the pressure of large numbers to...
Now you're going inside his head, and he has every...
He doesn't have the right not to have the conduct scrutinized.
Now you're going to motive, and you're going inside his head.
He has every right to stand there as president.
No.
We're talking about whether this is consistent with the good conduct of the presidency. They can impeach over a lot of different reasons. Let me toss out a hypothetical as far as just speech. And this is one that people, it's not original to me, but suppose that after 9/11, George W. Bush, who was president at the time, had gotten up and said, I don't mind this at all. I hope next time they kill even more people. Nothing illegal about saying that. There's clearly no law whatsoever. And yet, obviously, it would be impeachable. Why is it impeachable even though it's not criminally punishable? Because the Senate can hold the president to different standards than it would in a criminal conviction. It doesn't have to prove that he violated a law. All it has to do is to prove that in some serious and high way he behaved inconsistently with the duties
of the
presidency.
Yeah, but you can't use that. That's not a good comparison. You're saying Bush would say, I'm glad they killed a lot of people. That is obviously something different than what Trump said. Trump didn't say, I wish you guys would break into the railroad.
Trump didn't say that. But remember that your argument was that nothing that Trump says can itself be impeachable, and that
no inspection of his motives can be relevant to impeachment.
I said what he said was not.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
Of course he can say things that are impeachable, but he did not say anything that was impeachable. Tell me what he said that was impeachable specifically. What phrase was impeachable?
Okay, as I say, so the Senate will be correctly looking at the whole course of conduct.
What did he say that was impeachable, Walter? It wasn't his action.
When
it was
he sat
his
before
speech.
The TV for hours, watching them get closer and closer.
What did he say?
And he didn't do anything. No. I mean, you're asserting that his inaction during those crucial hours is not part of what the Senate is entitled to look at.
I'm saying the Senate's
entitled to look at his entire course of conduct before, during, and after.
So are you in favor of his being convicted?
I want to hear the full evidence. I think the Senate is entitled to hear the full evidence.
What other evidence is there that you haven't seen or heard? What specifically?
It's interesting because some of the evidence about his behavior that afternoon emerged after people were already calling for impeachment. We may hear further firsthand accounts from those who were there in the Oval Office with him about other things that he may have said or not said.
Oh, I see. And so now it's not what he said that they have got on the impeachment document. There's something else maybe that we haven't heard, and we'll bring that up.
Either you believe that more evidence should be heard or you don't. I suspect you believe that more evidence should be heard before he's convicted.
I think what we all saw is because that's what this impeachment is based on.
If I were a senator, I would be inclined to vote to convict, but I would be willing to listen to the evidence in case it changed my mind.
I see. Yeah. So there'd be a lot of people that we would end up impeaching, correct?
Well, I think we should impeach more officials. Yeah, I think we don't use impeachment enough.
We can start impeaching all kinds of people for saying things that we can take as being an insurrectable statement.
There is more official misbehavior that goes without impeachment than there should be, and we ought to use impeachment more often.
Wow.
I and my colleagues have been saying that for ages.
So we should be impeaching more people than we've done.
Okay. Oh, definitely, yeah.
Who else would you impeach?
Well, I have heard serious cases from libertarian friends that Obama committed impeachable offenses some of his overuse of executive power. It would have been interesting to try out those theories and see whether,
the House and Senate would go along.
We
could actually end up impeaching every president.
It would kind of keep them in line a little better, wouldn't it, if we did that?
Because Joe Biden.
We have gotten used to presidents.
We can impeach Joe Biden, too, you know. I think it's already worth an impeachment. If we can impeach Trump, who's no longer president.
I would wait. You know,
Why wait?
Well, because he's only been in office for a few days, and I would
wait to see what the worst things are
that he does in his first year. I believe the presidents, we could use yanking their chain a little bit, because we have had this imperial presidency in which presidents of both parties have considered themselves entitled to fight undeclared wars, to go around Congress on spending issues where Congress clearly is supposed to have the last
word. Well, then, you go all the way back to Washington, then. We can
not all. There was much better respect for some of the powers of other branches. You've got, and again, Trump didn't start this, but a whole bunch of presidents have been treading over, sometimes close to, and in my view, sometimes over, the constitutional line of the powers of the presidency. I would love to see more talk of impeachment when presidents violate their oath.
Well, Walter, I tell you what, we've had a very spirited discussion, and I appreciate you thinking on it. I think we could seriously impeach Biden. He was vice president and getting funneled money from China and all kinds of places. That's certainly more of an impeachable offense than the speech of Donald Trump. But anyway, thank you so very much for coming
on.
I really appreciate it. All right, sir.
Okay.
All right. Walter Olson of the Cato Institute. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Joe Biden himself says there is not going to be any conviction of Donald Trump, most likely. But away we go with this circus. We'll get some perspective from our proprietor of Mainstream America's Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. Hey, by the way, we are here for your dining and dancing pleasure. Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. Well, Joe Biden showed up for a press conference yesterday, and of course, all of the media just sat there quietly while I think somebody off camera was announcing who would be the next questioner for Biden. It was driving me nuts. And Biden would, you could see Biden, he would just kind of look over to the woman. And then I think she announced, and now we'll have blah, blah, ask a question. I mean, why don't you just stand in line and jump off a cliff, you know, one after the other? I mean, it's a lemming-like situation. But Biden says he's quite confident that in about 3 weeks, the nation will be vaccinating people at the range of about 1 million a day or in excess of that. I thought he had this great plan. Remember how he was castigating Trump before the November election about how Trump handled everything and, you know, that Trump did everything horribly wrong and he was blaming Trump for, the crises, et cetera. Now he gets in. Now he says, there's not too much we can do about this COVID situation for a while. He says, it's going to get worse before it gets better and blah, blah, blah. I mean, where's his plan? Other than he said, I think, everybody wear a mask. So, Andrew, I don't know if you probably wouldn't even want to watch Joe Biden. I don't know why I watch him in doing anything, but here we are on the verge of another impeachment trial, which I don't think is going to go anywhere. I think most people buy into that. What's your thinking on all of this?
Well, first of all, you said that Joe Biden doesn't think there's going to be an impeachment, but I heard on the news this morning that Joe Biden says we have to have a trial.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got a senator that's going to be the judge instead of a judge.
Yeah, the president
Leahy,
pro tempore.
Whatever his name is, yeah, you know.
Leahy.
I don't know where these people
Patrick
come
Leahy.
From, Paul. This is nothing but a joke. These morons should be dealing with what's going on in this country today instead of destroying it. Let's face the facts. His first week in office, 50,000 jobs gone. All union workers, mind you.
Right.
Okay, the COVID thing was a bunch of baloney. Did you notice the numbers are going down all of a sudden since January 21st?
I don't know. It depends on where you look. I haven't seen them going down, but I've heard that people are talking
either,
about
it. But this is what they're saying.
Yeah.
This is what they're saying. Like, he's got some fairy dust. Paul, this guy is destroying the country. This guy you had on earlier, I don't know where you found him. He's the senior fellow. They're going to impeach him for having the crowd there.
Well, I think I gave him some thoughts about all of that because as far as he was concerned, you know, we could have impeached every president since Washington.
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly. Paul, listen, this country's in a tailspin. People are already starting to have buyer's remorse, okay? We should have kept the receipt to take this sucker back.
Yes. You got, don't we have 30 days to be able to take it back?
He already signed 30 executive orders.
Yeah, I know he has.
You know?
He's becoming... I thought he was supposed to be a moderate, but look at some of the things that he's signing.
I want to know what all the suburban housewives are thinking right now. They've got their daughters, you know, in volleyball and in track, and all of a sudden the boys are going to be competing against them.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
Okay.
And joining them in the shower probably as well.
Okay. Now, one of my buddies yesterday, I was talking with him at the gym, 30-year veteran of the Coast Guard. He says, this guy is crazy. Now he's bringing the transgenders back. He goes, do they know that we all use the same showers in the service? Okay, there's no private showers.
Right.
Now, how are you going to feel if you got a bunch of guys there? How's this woman going to feel in there with a bunch of guys?
I think it's
terrible. Some women might like it. Some women might like it.
They might. I tell you what, this is part of the crazy world of progressive and what I would call socialist thinking. Progressive thinking and to some extent socialist thinking.
You know,
we're going the way of just ignoring all of the fundamental, foundational, moral and ethical rules that have been
Satan
in place
has
for
got control, buddy. Satan has got control of this country right now, and the people had better wake up before it's too late.
I agree.
These people
with you.
Can destroy this country in 6 months with the control that they have, and if we let them. It's our own fault.
Now, Biden is going to sign something about racial equity. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
Racial equity. What is he going to sign? And
what does racial equity mean?
Exactly.
You got so many rights.
I mean, what an executive order on racial equity. What the heck is that going to be all about? And what is that going to change our behavior somehow? This is. And I don't think he's holding line as a moderate. He's obviously, he's just falling over
well,
from the pie left.
He's being told what to do. They had him signing a paper the other day. It was on Channel 10. They had him signing a paper the other day, and around the 25-second mark in this video, he's sitting there holding his paper saying, I don't even know what I'm signing here. And Kamala Harris says, don't worry about it. Just sign it. It's okay. The Did you catch that one?
No. But yeah, it makes a good story. I don't know what the hell I'm signing. And she says, just sign it.
Did you see what he did with the Marines last week? He had his earpiece in, and he was walking up to the Marines, and he forgot to salute them. So in his earpiece, they told him, salute the Marines. He looked right at him and says, salute the Marines.
Yes, I heard. I'd like to see that one.
Okay, well,
but
I
didn't see it, but salute the Marines.
I mean, there's so many of them out there, it's unbelievable. And, you know, it's funny to laugh at, but
it's
not a laughing matter.
No, it isn't a laughing matter.
This country's going down quick. I could say that we have a government with no reason right now.
But, you know, Biden is willing to give away all kinds of money for all kinds of different things. In fact, apparently, Biden is reportedly offering $4 billion, with a B, to Central American countries for development. What the hell? First of all, I can tell you right now, it's never going to go for no stinking development. It's going to go into the pockets of all kinds of people that should never get that money.
You know what makes me sick, Paul? I'll tell you what makes me sick. When I see the ad for St. Jude's Hospital come up every half hour on the television, please donate $19 a month to help us. Okay, then you have this other foundation, please, $19 a month will help us. What the hell is our government doing? St. Jude shouldn't even have to be sitting there asking for donations. With all the children they help, with all the money they send overseas to get their kickbacks, I'm quite sure St. Jude will give them a kickback with a little help, you know?
Yeah, well, I contribute to St. Jude's. That's another story, but I believe in them.
I do, too.
They're a nonprofit. They're a Catholic, as you know. Danny Thomas founded it, et cetera, et cetera. And I buy into contributing. But that's you know, a voluntary decision on my part, and that's the way it should be.
Right, I understand that. But I'm saying if the government is helping out all these other countries for gender progression, I mean, they want science. They want scientific proof for the coronavirus. We have to have scientific, this is the scientific proof. Well, let me give you scientific proof. If you got one of these, you're a boy. If you got one of those, you're a girl.
Yes.
How much more science do you need to understand?
I agree. Absolutely right. I mean, we're disrupting not, I mean, this is the thing. This is why this is getting so scary. We are now questioning our basic biological and fundamental and moral beings.
Well, on your birth certificate, they won't be able to put boy or girl. They're going to put what it wants to be.
Yeah, exactly. What the mother and father have determined that this child will be. When he or she reaches the age of whatever, 18.
But what does the scientific proof tell you? It's a boy.
I know.
Okay, Paul, we're in for a big mess. And let me tell you what. In July, these people better take their Biden bumper stickers off their car when the gas hits $4 a gallon. I guarantee you. And then you're going to see nobody. I didn't vote for the guy. I didn't. Baloney. You guys voted for him. According to you people, there was no fraud. But I got news for you. With everything he's doing, you know there's fraud. The unions are even coming down on him. And the American Indians are coming down on him for the pipeline. They wanted it going through their land because they're making
money. He's managed to tick off Canada right away. He didn't even bother to talk with them before he went ahead and canceled the pipeline.
Well, you know, he's doing a good job, Paul.
Yeah.
Like I said, everybody's got buyer's remorse. And you know what? In 6 months from now, I think their revolution will be started if this keeps up.
So Donald Trump is already basically said he's not going to go away. He's going to be involved, apparently, especially with the 2022 elections, you know, the off-year elections, et cetera. There's talk that he might be at the head of the Patriot Party, and you and I have talked a little bit about that, whether or not that's...
Those paperwork was all filed yesterday, Paul.
So do you think he's going to form a Patriot Party or be a part of it? Or what do you think?
According to what I'm understanding, right now he's not saying nothing that he has nothing to do with it, okay, at this point. However, the papers were all filed yesterday, and it is a legal party now.
It is? The Patriot Party is a legal party?
It is a legal party. The paperwork was filed yesterday, okay, and it's got all the banks for donations, everything. I looked at the documents myself on the computer. It's all been filed, but Trump did put a thing in there saying that right now he is not any part of it whatsoever.
Okay. Okay. Do you think it would be better to be like a, just a, what's the word, a division of the Republican Party? You know, like the Tea Party is sort of a division.
No, Paul, we got to get rid of the Republican Party.
You do think
so? I know my brother says one thing, but I'm dead set against him. The only way to get rid of him is to get rid of him. This has been a two-party system in this country for too many years. And it's okay if it stays a two-party system, but I don't want the left wing and the right wing to belong to the same bird.
Mm. So you don't think that, well, that's going to ensure that we'll have Democrats running the White House for quite a while, don't you think?
I don't know, Paul. Times have changed from that way of thinking. Times have changed. And let me tell you what, things keep going on the way they're going on. Your moderate Democrats are going to leave the Democrat Party.
I think they already have, actually. I don't think there are any moderates.
Then you know that Trump won the election because they voted for him, too.
Speaking of moderates, Democrats, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who is one of two Democrats that says he will not support doing away with the filibuster. And because he will not do away with the filibuster, Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, who are going to be kind of co-leaders of the Senate because it's a 50-50 situation, are going to be able to apparently continue to allow legislative issues to come to them. With that filibuster, it'll take 60 votes to bring something up for vote. So that unless you can get some Republicans to go along with some of the things that, let's say, the House under Democratic control creates, you won't be able to get anything over to Biden's desk. So I think that's an interesting thing, too.
You know, Paul, you got 4 years now of nothing happening again because all they are worried about is Trump, 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 Trump. Okay, you're going to hear them for 4 years get absolutely nothing.
Well, they got to have something to throw darts at, right?
Paul, that's all they got. They're not talking about anything they're going to do. Well, they're already doing what they wanted to do. That's getting done with his executive orders. How long are the people going to take it? But there's 4 years of absolutely nothing except this country going into a tailspin. There is no prosperity. There is nothing, Paul. And there will definitely be no unity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As a matter of fact, the more they keep doing what they're doing, I think more people are slipping to Trump's side.
I think it's, again, I think that the Democrats are just ending up becoming far lefties.
That's right.
I mean, what else? Why would you stay there when you got everything going that way, including Biden, by the way? Of course, who knows what he really believes. He's going to go
he
with
what. He doesn't know where he is, Paul. He's on dementia medication as we're speaking. He has no clue.
Well, even when he has a couple of cogent thoughts, he says to himself, "Well, I'm going to go with the wind on this. I'm going to stay with the lefties on this."
Yeah. And as far as the impeachment trial, what did they get? Well, if Trump didn't have that gathering, this never would have happened. That's your impeachment.
I can assure you that that Trump is not going to be. In fact, I'd be almost surprised if it was little more than a majority vote to kick him out. And they need 2/3. They'll be lucky if they get.
That isn't going to happen. Paul,
they'll be lucky if they get 52 votes to.
Look at the money they're wasting. They could have gave that to St. Jude's, couldn't they?
Exactly.
About 1 million more kids.
Or allow us to keep our money, and then we can give it to St. Jude's.
That's right.
That's
whatever.
Really the way it would work.
Whatever, Paul. But the problem going on now, they're dealing with money we don't have. They're printing money to make up the money. It's ridiculous. How come nobody's got their $2,000 check that he promised, remember?
Yeah, I did. And
the people in Georgia are upset about that. The unions are all upset he let go of union jobs. But these guys are stupid for listening to this stuff. They should know better.
Well, it is always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend, and I'm glad you're back. And I look forward to Friday. Let's see what happens between now and then.
Oh, I can't wait to see what happens.
Okay.
With a little luck, aliens will attack us.
I think we already got a few in Congress.
Oh, they're all there, buddy.
I tell you. All right. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, my friend. Talk to you later.
All right. There he goes. Well, he's always got the energy. He makes some good sense, I think, about a lot of things. Anyway, let's take our final break. And when we come back, among other things, the top 10 closest Super Bowl games.
This This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Well, President Biden's Attorney General nominee is Merrick Garland. Remember that name? He was the gentleman that Barack Obama put up for Supreme Court towards the end of his run as president, and the Republican Senate at the time knocked it back. Anyway, he's now up for Attorney General. He'll face a confirmation hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee as in a yet-to-be-announced date, but it'll be fairly soon. And when that day comes, he can expect to field some questions about Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son. Now, federal prosecutors are looking into Hunter, who has said in a statement that the probe was related to tax affairs. And should he become Attorney General, Merrick Garland would be overseeing the investigation. So you know that Merrick Garland is going to get questions from the Republicans about whether or not he would squash or quash the investigation into Hunter Biden. Let's see how he answers those particular questions when they come forward. All right. Well, before we get to the top 10, and I think we got a good one. These are the top 10 closest Super Bowl games. There's all kinds of, comparisons of these two quarterbacks and whether or not the Kansas City quarterback, who's young and he's can move all over the field, and he always figures out a way. I think he's, Ed, I think that Mahomes, the Kansas City quarterback, I hate to say this, but I think he's got it all. And maybe at this moment he could be a little bit, even a little bit possibly better than Tom Brady. But it's going to be a classic matchup between these two, Brady and Mahomes.
Well, I mean, he does. He's a great thrower. He moves and stuff. I just want to remind people that quarterbacks can move around a lot, get hit a lot, and they get hurt a lot, you know.
And he did get a concussion.
Yeah, got a concussion. Yeah. He got turf toe, which is still bothering him, and he'll need surgery when the season's
now,
over.
Now, Tom Brady tends to stay in the pocket, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he'll venture out a little bit. But he's not going to go running down the field, right?
No, it's highly unlikely.
Yeah. I mean, and the way things are going, hasn't had to do that very much, right?
No, I think I think just recently his rushing total for his career just hit 1,000 yards, which that's 20 years.
That's not that much. Really not that much.
That's 50 yards a year.
Yeah. You know, this is shaping up. We're not going to ask you your pick yet or my pick. We'll do that as we get real close. But this is shaping up to be a very interesting game between these two.
Well, this is going to be interesting that the Bucs are going to be here, that they're practicing and everything. Because of COVID, Kansas City would normally come in on Monday and have the whole week here. But because of COVID, they're not going to fly in until Friday before the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yes, because of the COVID situation.
And you mean they'll only have a couple of days to practice on the field?
Well, none of them really will be on the field. They'll be in practice facilities. And the Bucks will have their practice facility.
Is nobody practicing on the field where it's going to be played?
No, they never do.
Well,
no.
I thought they did.
No.
Well, then what's the point? They don't have to come early then.
Well, you like to get in and get situated and everything like that.
Well, true.
I
always thought that they got time to practice on the very field that they would be playing on. That's interesting.
No, they don't. The only time they see the field is on warm-ups before the game.
The day of the game.
Day of the game.
Well, that's something new for me. Okay, my friend, it is time. Our top 10 is related to this. These are the top 10 closest Super Bowl games ever. And let me suggest to you that a lot of them are, there's a big tie situation going on here, all right? All right, here we go. Number 10. It's Super Bowl 23 in 1989, San Francisco 49ers 20, Cincinnati Bengals 16. Mm-hmm. 4-point difference, not that that pretty exciting. Number 9, Super Bowl 43. That was in 2009. The Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Arizona Cardinals by 4 points as well, 27-23.
And that was here in Tampa.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
You remember the game. Very good. Number 8. The Super Bowl 46, it involved the Patriots. It happened 9 years ago. The New York Giants beat the Patriots 21-17. So that would have been with Brady on at the helm of the Patriots. Okay, number 7. 71, this was an early one. Baltimore Colts 16, Dallas Cowboys 13, 3-point difference. Okay, Super Bowl, that was Super Bowl 5. Mm. Okay, number 6. We get the Patriots again in 2002, Super Bowl 36. They beat the Rams, St. Louis Rams, 20-17. All right, number 5. I tell you what, we got a lot of Patriots. This is another Patriots game. This is 2004. Would that have been Brady?
Yes.
They beat the Carolina Panthers 32-29.
Yes.
You remember that game, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Number 4. Ed's got to answer the phone. He does all kinds of things while we're doing stuff, and so I have to give him a little bit of slack. But number 4 is also the New England Patriots, and this is Super Bowl 39. It occurred in 2005, and it was the Patriots 24, the Philadelphia Eagles 21. It's another 3-point. There are a bunch of 3-point games.
Okay.
Okay. Number 3. Another Patriots game, and this time they lost it. 2008 Super Bowl 42, Giants, New York Giants 17, Patriots 14. Number 2. Aha! The Patriots didn't play in this one. It's the 2013 Super Bowl. Baltimore Ravens beat the San Francisco 49ers 34-31. All right. We're at number 1.
Ed. I know what it is.
All right, Ed knows what it is.
I'll even tell you where it happened.
Oh my God.
It was 1991 in Tampa, and it was the Buffalo Bills and the Dallas Cowboys. No, wait. Buffalo Bills and the New York Giants, and it was 1-point difference because Buffalo kicked the field goal. Scott Norwood went wide right.
You're absolutely right. Who won the game?
The Giants did.
You're right. Bingo. Giants 20, Buffalo 19, Super Bowl 25, 1991. The New York Giants won when Buffalo Bills kicker Scott Norwood missed a field goal in the final seconds of the game. You're right on, my friend. I have to continue to tell you that you are our sports guru. All right, we will be back on Friday. Always remember, freedom works.
Sometimes wonder why all the flowers had to die. I dream about you.